Welcome to the next journey with a story.
Today we'll take off for northern and eastern Bohemia, to the area between Liberec and Hradec Králové. But today I could almost say between Friedland and Hradec Králové.
Or at the borderland with the Duchy of Friedland. But those are only the complete what-ifs. We are coming across the famous figure of Albrecht of Waldstein, who in the 17th century had great plans for this region.
But nicely in order. We have chosen the recently created Via Sacra pilgrimage trail, which connects the towns in the borderland of Bohemia, Poland and Germany as the axis of today's journey.
That cannot surprise us in this area. The entire region was mainly German for a long time. For example, in Liberec, which was at that time called Reichenberg, out of the total population before World War I, the Czech inhabitants accounted only for 7%. But let's not forget that before the World War II, the German-Polish border was situated much more to the east.
Liberec has the only synagogue in the Central Europe which was built after World War II. This modern structure has a triangular ground plan which symbolises half of the Star of David. It was built during the years 1997 to 2000 in the area of the Regional Science Library, which was established in place of the former neo-Renaissance synagogue.
Liberec played a second fiddle to Friedland until the 19th century. The first structure in the city which was built of stones was the Church of St. Antonine the Great from the year 1579. The golden era in Liberec started in the 18th century during the development of the textile industry, and the city had become the largest manufacturing town in the Kingdom of Bohemia. The paradox is that the production of cloth in the city was started by the Friedland Duke Albrecht of Waldstein, who ordered the uniforms for his private army to be manufactured there.
The Via Sacra passes through a total of 16 places, of which there are four in the area of the Czech Republic. The Baroque Church of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Hejnice, the Romanesque settlement of St. Zdislava in Český Dub, the Chapel of St. Anna in Mnichovo Hradiště, and the Basilica of St. Lawrence and St. Zdislava in Jablone in Podještěji.
Let's start with Jablone, which is located 27 kilometres west of Liberec. The noble Zdislava of Lemberg established a Dominican monastery there with a hospital and the Church of St. Lawrence, where she was subsequently buried. Apart from the fact that she often came here to pray, she also helped in the care for the poor, the sick and the pilgrims.
We can say that the St. Zdislava was the representative of all three medieval estates. An old chronicler wrote about her father that he looked like a knight, but in his heart he was a monk. In her appearance, mannerisms and origin, his daughter was an aristocrat, but in her heart, she was the servant of God. And to that, she also added the lowest role. She acted as the humble servant of all the sick, poor, and the needy. There were, and luckily there continue to be, the people who gave part of their wealth to the poor. Lady Zdislava did that also. But she did more. To serve the needy, she, the aristocrat, contributed her hands, her time, her own work and comfort. Not only she had compassion with these people, she personally helped to calm their hunger and thirst, to clean and bandage their ugly wounds.
Shortly after her death, Zdislava was worshipped as a saint. But the real canonization of St. Zdislava happened only in 1995. The Church of St. Lawrence she founded, and which is now called the Church of St. Zdislava, was that time elevated to the Minor Basilica. The extensive underground in the church, with the tomb of St. Zdislava, and the gallery with the scenes from her life, is accessible during the pilgrimage, which takes place every last Saturday in May.
Our second stop will be in Český Dub. Whether it is only a small town, It is one of the oldest settlements in the northern Bohemia, which next to its location became the strategic point for the trade and war campaigns. The King Wenceslas I decided to protect this commercial trade by the number of settlements, the seats of the Order of the Knights of the St. Johannites.
These monasteries also had a semi-military role and the responsibility to care for the pilgrims. The original Johannite settlement is now a chateau. We can also visit the Church of the Pentecost or the Church of the Holy Trinity.
Until the middle of the 90s of the last century, it was assumed that the settlement did not survive the Hussite Wars. But during the structural and technical survey of the chateau, the original monastery was discovered again. The Romanesque chapel of St. John the Baptist became accessible, along with the Romanesque Gothic hall and the smaller hall in the convent. The age of these Romanesque Gothic monuments is unique in the Czech lands.
Hejnice, located a mere 10 kilometres from Friedland, is another town which can be found on the Via Sacra. Today, a magnificent Baroque basilica of the Visitation of the St. Virgin Mary stands in the place of the wooden church from the 14th century. The most precious items in this St. Mary's pilgrimage place are the Gothic statue of Madonna from the year 1380 and the field altar used by Albrecht of Waldstein, or the elusive altar of the Jesuit Josef Kramolin. We can also see the unique Hejnice Bethlehem from the 18th century, which captures the images from the life of Franciscans in the Hejnice environs.
Wait a moment, how can an altar be elusive?
Well, that is such an artistic and historic expression. How should I say? Simply said, it is an altar painted on the wall.
Our last stop at the Via Sacra will be the Chapel of St. Anna in Mnichovo Hradiště. The chapel was built during the years 1723 to 1724 in the neighbourhood of the Mnichovo Hradiště Chateau and the Capuchin Monastery from the 17th century. Its interior is richly decorated, and it is where the tomb of Albrecht of Waldstein was placed. There we can also find a lapidary of the sculptures of Platzer, Braun and Jelinek.
Waldstein is a fascinating figure in Czech history. His fate would be large enough for at least one Hollywood blockbuster. At the peak of his power, he was preparing to establish his own country. The Duchy of Friedland was removed from the land statutes, which de facto meant that it was no longer part of the kingdom. But before reaching his goal, if indeed that was the goal, he was caught up in the court intrigues, advanced syphilis, and ultimately his violent death in Cheb.
Jičín was to become the opulent centre of the Duchy of Friedland, where Waldstein planned to establish the diocese, university, and its own council. In 1625, he invited Jesuits to Jičín, who established there not only the town's college, but also a seminary, school and hospital. The region was not burdened by taxes and therefore was also called the Terra Felix, a happy land. While the 30 Years' War was raging all around and the Czech lands underwent a profound crisis, Jičín was experiencing an intense era of development.
Italian architects started to build the Baroque Church of St. Jakob the Great in 1627, which was to become the Bishop's Cathedral. This church, which was built in the spirit of Italian mannerism, is the first of its kind north of the Alps. The main altar is framed and contains the painting of St. Jakob. The statues of St. Peter and Paul are standing above the side gates. In recent years, the paintings and the main altar were attributed to the famous Baroque painter Karel Škréta.
But the diocese was not founded, and the monumental church was completed only a few decades later. Its bells are interesting. They were installed in the church only in the year 1992. So it seems to me that up to now we've been talking only about Catholics. Whilst before Waldstein's reform fury, the church in Jičín served the masses in both kinds for 150 years, and ultimately the Generalissimo Waldstein originally belonged to the unity of the brethren.
From Jičín, we can depart to Rovensko pod Troskami. Apart from the Gothic church of St. Wenceslas, which was partly repaired at the end of the 16th century, we can admire a unique bell tower with the so-called rebellious bells. The original bell tower was burned in 1629 by the troops, which were suppressing the local Lutheran rebellion against serfdom. To commemorate the rebellion, the new bell tower had three bells with the bell hearts pointed upwards. That time the rebels killed the Jesuit missionary and escaped the death penalty only by converting to the Catholic faith.
Whoa, let's try something less severe, please.
A unique structural monument is the single-timbered one-nave church of St. John the Baptist from the year 1553, which was built by the Utraquists in Slavonjov, and which is located about 10 kilometres from Dobruszka in the direction of the Polish border. Its interior contains a precious example of the folk Renaissance painting from the 16th century. The coffered ceiling from the year 1705 contains various ornaments with the statues of apostles on the main beam. The upper section of the Renaissance bell tower is fitted with a wooden framework.
That's better.
Dobruszka, about which Alois Jurasek talked about in F.L. Wieck, was strongly influenced by the Hussite movement. At the end of the 15th century, most of its residents were Utraquists, and the town also established the unity of brethren. In 1628, the town participated in an uprising against the forced Catholicism, and the secret evangelist remained in the neighbourhood until the period of tolerance.
While there, we can visit the Renaissance town hall, the Church of St. Wenceslas, which was altered to the Baroque style, the birthplace of the Jurasek-like national revivalist František Vladislav Hek, or the Jewish cemetery, and in the former rabbi's house, which is today the building of the town museum, we can visit the only accessible mikveh in the Czech Republic. The royal dowry town of Hradec Králové, which is also the seat of the Catholic diocese, was relatively evangelist. The town became the seat of the princes and the administrative centre of eastern Bohemia only at the end of the 10th century, after the unification of the Czech tribes under the rule of the Přemyslids.
The Jesuits, who were supposed to convert the local population back to Catholicism, came to Hradec after the 30 Years' War. That time, the monumental cathedral of the Assumption of the St. Virgin Mary, along with the college and the new plague column, were built on the square, and, at the site of the former castle, the town built the church of the popular re-Catholicism patron St. Jan of Nepomuk. A distinct Baroque footprint was left in the town by Jan Blažej Santini.
The main church of the Hradec Králové diocese is the late Gothic Basilica of St. Spirit. It was founded in the beginning of the 14th century by the Queen Eliška Rejčka, who found her inspiration in the Polish Krakow and had that temple built of red bricks. During the Hussite Wars, when Hradec was the centre of Arebites, the church contained the temporary burial place of Jan Žižka.
The Chapel of St. Clement, which is probably one of the oldest churches in Bohemia, stands in the close proximity of the cathedral. According to the legend, it was built by the Bohemian prince Borzivoj after his baptism in the 10th century.
Among the non-Catholic houses of worship, we will be mainly interested in the architect Gochard's complex, called the College of St. Ambrosius from the years 1926 to 29, and the Succession Church of the Evangelist Church of the Czech Brethren. The Orthodox Church is represented by the wooden church of St. Nicholas, and we can even find a Jewish synagogue there.
And it will be in Hradec where we are going to say goodbye to you today. Have a very nice time, and we hope to meet you during the next Journeys with a Story.